two more hours left. Good talking with the Kings coach Dave Yeager earlier and Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. And we will talk with Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's the Falcons beat reporter. That's coming up in about hour and 15 minutes at 6:15. The Orlando Ledbetter, that's coming up at 6:15. The Falcons and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. The Kings tomorrow on the home court of the Cavaliers. Early game, which means no show for us. The Kings and the Cavs. It is stop four of this eight-game trip. So lots going on, Doug. And certainly with the Super Bowl, we'll be looking forward to being on site for many of the days next week. Get ready for Super Bowl 51 with Atlanta and New England. And do you think, Doug, do you just think by the time we start Super Bowl coverage in earnest that the 49ers will have their head coach and their general manager? Head coach, to me, is, I agree with Charles, Kyle Shanahan's going to be their next head coach.
Yeah, it sounds like it, Grant. It sounds, actually, I believe that he's going to have another interview sometime this week.
Yes, so on Friday.
Yeah, they're gonna squeak that in there. And obviously, it probably won't mess with his preparation. But that's pretty much signifying and solidifying that. And the ability, I think, is important for him to be able to help, if not pick, the general manager, to know that someone in there has got his back, because the way that things are running over there isn't the finest. But, an incredible offensive mind, and it'll be interesting to watch him and watch them moving forward.
All right. Don't forget to join Sports 1140 to watch the PPR at Golden One Center on Friday the 27th. Again, Golden One Center is where it's going to be. The Professional Bull Riders coming to Sacramento on Friday. And again, we'll be at Golden One Center to watch it. Just join the KHTK Street team and win awesome prizes. You can get all the information at khtk.com. If you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You know, when we were talking with Charles last hour, I was just curious. You know, if you're Deshaun Watson and your college coach, Dabo Sweeney, basically says that if Cleveland passes on his quarterback, it would be the equivalent of passing on Michael Jordan. Deshaun Watson probably hears that and goes, oh, coach, don't do that to me. Don't put Michael Jordan next to my name. You know what I mean? He's got enough pressure, and now all of a sudden his coach thinks that he's a Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You give him his props because he deserves his props, but that's just taking it to a whole nother level. It puts so much pressure on the kid. Maybe he's up to the task. Who knows? But a lot of people have been, compared to Michael Jordan, and it's hard to live up to something like that. No one has. So is he an incredible talent? Yes, he is. Will it translate to the NFL? It's a hard one, Grant. That's a hard one because we've seen so many players who are really, really talented, and it just doesn't transfer.
The 49ers are freezing their ticket prices for the next two seasons, and they don't really have a choice, in my opinion. They said, quote, we are announcing that 49ers season ticket pricing will be frozen throughout the 2018 season. Invoices for your 2017 season tickets will be made available to view and pay online in the coming weeks. Listen, what happened this year at Levi's Stadium was embarrassing. The number of empty seats, people eating their tickets. And, again, there's no way they could raise ticket prices. There would be an absolute revolt.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that. I would actually say to them, this is probably the best move that they made all year, is to show the fans that, look, we understand the product that's on the field isn't, that championship type of level that you are used to. So we won't be raising any ticket prices. So good for them and good for the fans.
Yeah, and here's something else that happened, with Ben Roethlisberger, going on his radio interview and saying he's not sure about next year. Ben Roethlisberger is playing quarterback for the Steelers next year. All right, let's not get carried away here. He is 100% under center for the Pittsburgh Steelers next year. There's no way he's retiring.
I would say that this is kind of he's in that Peyton Manning area in his career. Not so much. He's been injured quite a bit. He's had many surgeries and stuff. But I would say each offseason, probably going forward, like Peyton used to do, he would go and get his examination and all that different thing, have a chance to reflect with his family and different stuff and make a decision. Knowing that, yes, I would agree, Ben's going to be back, but you have to give him that ability. Was he 36, 35? Right there?
36, yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's dinged up, a lot of different things going on, but you got to know, that is a first-class franchise. They will reload. They will figure out some things on the defensive side of the ball, whatever they're going to do with Antonio Brown and all the different things that they have to figure out, they will do that because that is what they are known for.
All right, let's get to Ronnie on Sports 1140. Hello, Ronnie.
Oh, hey, Grant, and hey, Doug, as well. Just want to start off saying I'm actually a pretty big Doug Christie fan because I actually grew up in New York. And in the early 90s, I would go to the Knicks practices out in Westchester County.
Hey.
And, Doug was pretty awesome there. So
thank you, sir.
But what I wanted to kind of transition to that was actually I want to talk about McElmore a little bit.
Yep.
Basically, one of the reasons that I liked Doug so much as a player was his intensity, his grittiness, and his motor. And when I watch McElmore play, I've been critical of him. We've actually discussed him, I think, a couple times on your show in the past. But I just don't know if he has that same motor, and I don't know if it's something between the years. I don't know what it is, but I was wondering if you guys could chime in on that.
He doesn't have a good feel for the game. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. He just doesn't have a sense of the game. He doesn't have a good feel for the game, and it's a shame because he has everything else. He has the work ethic.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal teammate. He's
right.
Got tremendous athleticism, but he just does not have a feel for the game.
You know, I've said this to Grant many times. The first thing, if I was working with Ben, is I would tell him to get open, and I would just hold the living crap out of him. I mean, he wouldn't even be able to move. And I would make him just absolutely throw me, shed me, get me off of him. And that, I think, goes to what you're talking about, that edginess that you need. You need it to compete against this type of talent. Does that mean that you go overboard, you get in fight? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that they're on that side and we're on this side and we're going to do whatever we have to do to win. And that right there is not, you know, putting Ben out. I think it's kind of what we're seeing, Grant, in basketball and sports all around with AAU. It's too much friendliness going on.
There is way too much friendliness going on, but I don't think
it's
in Ben's personality to be like that. There's nothing in his personality that would lead me to believe that he's capable of doing that. He's in his fourth year now, and I think he is who he is, and I hope he can get on with a different team and get a fresh start and maybe fit in with another team, but it's not going to happen here.
You don't think he'd throw me off of him?
No.
I don't think he would get open. But on the line, he's
no,
not
I
getting
don't.
Open. I watched you in 95. He's not getting open. But,
you guys are some Bill.
But I just think if he misses like one or two shots, I just think he kind of maybe loses a little bit of his initial edge, and I think he kind of starts to drift away, and he starts making like passing mistakes and fundamental mistakes. So I think if he gets off to a good start, he's kind of like a front runner. You know, he's good. He's dropping 20, but
we've talked also about the fact that, and you are correct in my opinion, when Ben misses, then he kind of disappears a little bit. And that's learned, where you got to understand that there's more to the game than just making shots. I wouldn't make shots all the time. So I'm going to contribute on the defensive end. I'm going to rebound. I'm going to pass. And when you see really good teams, that's usually the MO for those teams. It's not just the offensive end. It's the complete floor game. And that part is a bit learned, and yeah, that's a tough one.
Do you think it's just where the direction the NBA is going in with like the offense and the high numbers and stuff? Everyone wants to get their stats and their contracts, or do you think it's just something basketball related?
It could be a bit of that, but at the same time, you have to learn that if you want to win, look at the teams that win. They play mostly, they play complete games, and or they're either their coach or a high player like LeBron James is going to require out of you the best and the focus and all those different things.
I would definitely agree with that. But, yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to get down to. But, yeah, Doug, you were pretty good, Nick.
Thank you, man.
I'll
appreciate
that,
it.
Man.
I don't know.
Yeah, let me tell you, he's a much better king than he was a Nick.
This is true.
I'll agree with you there. But,
I mean, I'm just, you know.
Hey,
let's
I polished the hell out of that bench with my butt, Grant.
Yes,
yeah,
you did.
I won't even bring up, like, 2000 or 2001 with the Lakers. That's just, like, kind of, like, off limits, I think, right?
Yes, I would say so.
No, we can't talk about
that. Yeah, we can't do that. That's just. Why you want to bring up old stuff? The call was going great, Ronnie, and then you screwed it up at the end, man.
All right, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We can't have him back on. Did he just mention that team down south?
Hey, you know what? It's on people's mind. They just don't know if they can throw it out there, Grant. And, you know, looking at that, I mean, you know, everyone, you know, not that Luke's not going to be a good coach, because I think ultimately he will be. But in the beginning, yep, when they were kind of in that playoff and people were just absolutely going crazy, and now you've seen that they've begun to slide and different things happen. It's tough to win in this league, man. It is. But they have a young nucleus, and they will be reckoned with in years to come.
What did you think of LeBron's comments last night after the game? Almost a directive towards the front office. And it was interesting to me to see his frustration in terms of, and I'll tell everyone what he said, but he went off for a couple of minutes after the game last night. And he basically said, hey, you know what? My window is closing, and it's pretty much just me and Kyrie and Kevin, which I found odd because they just went out and got, you know, Kyle Korver, who I think still is going to really help out this franchise. But after the game last night, he said, we top heavy as blank. We need a effing playmaker. It's been a blank 2017 so far. Are you surprised? David Griffin, the general manager, you know, said, I think this was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, quote, I appreciate the fact that he's really trying to keep us moving in the right direction. I mean, what do you think the message is here? And do you think that he was just speaking in the heat of the moment, or do you think there's a lot more to it than that?
I think, Grant, it's interesting actually to watch it, because I mentioned earlier when I watched him play against San Antonio, he yep. was very demonstrative in his actions and his, you know, condemning of players. Usually you see him get after it a little bit, but he was really after it. So this is something I think that's building. I think also playing against Golden State the other night, even though it was the end of a trip, he's a very smart player, and he understands where they are in the pantheon of things. I think that his body, he's probably beginning to feel it and understand that, you know, time is starting to tick down. It's not still, you know, the bigger is not on the end. The bigger was on the front end now. And he wants to make sure that if I'm going to be here, let's make sure that we're contending every single year. Now, does picking up Kyle Korver, does that help? Yes, it does. But at the same time, he mentioned a playmaker and different things like that, because he understands that minutes-wise, he's been to the finals 7 years in a row, Grant. I mean, and then you throw in a Olympics in there and different yep. stuff. That's a lot of miles. And when I watch Kyrie and I watch Kevin Love, I watch how guys run and I watch how they start from a stop. And as you get older, a lot of guys, you'll see them take a little hop to get going and different stuff like that. And they're going to need some help if they're going to want to contend with Golden State. So I can understand this is a different LeBron than we've seen. We usually yep. don't see him cussing and stuff, though.
All right, let's get to Chris. Chris, you're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's happening?
Hey, I just wanted to say I'm a military veteran. I've been all over the country, and you guys have by far the best sports show, perfect balance of local, the Kings, and the national sports as well. So it's an excellent job you guys do.
Thank you, and thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's very nice.
No problem, guys. I just was just want to refer to something real quick, and then I'll hang up and let you guys respond. That first segment, first hour with Atlanta and New England. I just a lot of stuff people's not talking about. The game is actually in Houston in the dome, so I think that would help Atlanta a lot. But do you guys think that the blowout versus Green Bay is getting a little too much attention, because there was at least two fumbles and two interceptions that Green Bay could have easily had? That on Atlanta's part, and they always got the ball back or scored a touchdown after the missed opportunity. So I just wanted to ask
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I mean, Green Bay, I think that's a great point you made. Green Bay was very sloppy in a couple of issues in that game, yes.
Yeah, and the missed field goal immediately, I think, set, you know, especially coming Grant off of what Cosby did in Dallas. To miss that was kind of like, oh my God, are we really here? And then the fumble, you're in the red zone and you're about to score. That also puts pressure on a team like Atlanta. Me and Grant have mentioned that they've been there, they've been close, and never did they get that pressure put on them, Grant, that will those throws still be as crisp and clean? We don't know yet.
Yeah, I just wanted. I was talking more about the when Atlanta, Matt Ryan had a couple of bad snaps and they got the ball back, and then Green Bay had two interceptions right in their hands and they dropped it. So that's four turnovers that the Green Bay could have had, and they didn't capitalize on one of them. So thank you very much for the call, and I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thank you.
He has a point there, Grant. I mean, you know, those are championship plays. I mean, when the Giants beat. Who did they beat with the interception there? Not
Which
the interception.
Game are you talking about?
In the Super Bowl, the catch on top of the helmet when you guys beat
David Tyree beat New England. Yeah.
So those little tiny things, it can change the whole complexity of a game. I mean, he makes that. If he doesn't make that catch, now we're talking about New England being the best team of all time. It just little tiny things. So he's got a point.
All right, 339-1140. Let's get to Mark. Hello, Mark.
How you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your guys' insights. I really enjoy your show. I just wanted to get some comments from you guys. I'm a huge Kings fan. I try not to miss a game, and I heard you guys talking about it earlier, but I'm really loving how Ty Lawson's playing this year. And what I'm trying to get from you guys is some sort of analysis of why do we seem to see – why do we start with Darren, and why do we seem to see more time from Darren when we just seem to be so much more efficient when Ty's on the floor? He seems to be looking to make everybody around him better, and it seems like Darren's always looking a little more for his own offense. And I don't know what the issue is, or if it's just that Ty is better with the second unit. I just would love
to – I think you hit it right on the head. I think he likes Ty with the second unit.
I would say so, too. He brings the energy that changes the game immediately. I think that Willie Cauley-Stein running with him, guys getting out. And I think also, Grant, we've talked about this, is when Ty started the season, he was trying to find, how do I use my speed? Now he goes all the way to the basket. If it's not there, he finds the second wave. And I've said that I think Darren should kind of play that same way, even with the first group, because if you got DeMarcus Trellin, use your speed. Get in there. And Darren hasn't been the Darren that we've seen in the past, but I would anticipate that begins to get a little better.
What do you think about that? So is Darren injured, or what's the difference this year? And I mean, is that affecting how Darren defends? I just sort of have this feeling like I see a little more defensive effort, a little more tenacious defense from Ty. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
I don't know if I would use the word tenacious and Ty in the same sentence. That's not his game, but I mean, you know, he takes a lot of pride on that side of the floor too. They're different types of players. They're both very fast, but they're different types of players. And the one thing I would agree with you, Ty has played better than Darren. I mean, I don't think anybody can watch the Kings play and objectively say that he hasn't. He's been better, but I do think that Dave Yeager just likes him better coming off the bench than starting.
Yeah, and from time to time, I would anticipate that we start to see them play together sometimes. And I agree with Grant. I wouldn't say he's more tenacious. I just think that Darren, from the very beginning of the season, when he missed those games, he hasn't found that same rhythm that he had found in previous years. He has been so consistent. You could pencil him in every single night, and it's just been a little bit up and down for him so far this year.
Thanks a lot for your comments, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you very much. If you want to get in on the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I mean, could you have Ty start? Yeah, of course you could, and then bring Darren off the bench. But, you know, it seems to me that every time Ty Lawson comes off the bench, the game changes. And I think if you're a coach and you know, and it's kind of like Bobby Jackson.
Bobby could have started
for the Kings.
Yeah.
But they started Mike Bibby. And I think Rick Adaman just loved the fact that when Bobby came into the game, he changed things. Well, when Ty comes into the game changes, you know?
And you got to understand that Ty is playing against normally the backup. Also, yep. Some guys, it for them to get a look at the game, Grant, you know what I mean? He sits there and he gets a look, and he can examine and see how things are going, and then he goes out and he can now put his imprint on the game and however he's seeing the flow of the game happen. And some guys are good at that, and that might be something that Ty has found, because it's very, you can see it. As soon as he goes in, he understands where he's trying to go, and he just gets going.
All right. Hey, we had Dave Yeager on very early in the show. When we come back, we're going to let you listen to that again right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Grant Nate here, Doug Christie, taking you right up till 7 o'clock. Early in the show, we had Kings coach Dave Yeager on, and we want you to now be able to hear that conversation if you missed it. And we started off talking about the tough loss Saturday in Chicago, the 9-hour travel day on Sunday due to a mechanical. And I started off by asking the coach, you know, that he had to be very proud of the complete team effort last night in Detroit.
You can have a depressing moment after you lose a game like we did in Chicago, and you can sit and feel sorry for yourself, or, you know, you can lift yourself back up. And one of the things that we have is, you know, our locker room is very solid. Guys are staying positive and the spirits are good. So to come out and they kind of hit us pretty early. I mean, it didn't seem like they missed in the first quarter, and we didn't have the defensive intensity that we needed to, but our second unit was fantastic last night and really set the game up. And then, you know, DeMarcus came in and kind of closed it out at the end, and then we made some big plays.
Coach, you mentioned it right there, the fact that, you know, they got out early. What does that do for the ball club? Because we hung in, bench come in, contribute, DeMarcus closes out. It was a full team effort. When you're in the locker room, how do they feel about that type of thing?
Well, I think, you know, it shows some resiliency to you know, keep banging away and staying with it and believing in each other and that we can get it done. And, you know, I can give you a couple, you know, examples of things that are going really well that kind of tell you, you know, we always say, you play, Doug. But, mm-hmm. You know, things like Matt Barnes, 37 with bruised ribs, dives on the floor and gets a loose ball to clinch the game.
Mm-hmm.
I drew up a play last night of which we already have in our playbook, but I drew it up in timeout. And Ben McElmore says to me as we're breaking the huddle, he says, isn't Malachi supposed to go from this block to set that screen? Now, think about that.
Right.
That's a guy who has basically, he's 3 years his senior, but still a young player, and a guy who's kind of playing his position, and he is paying attention in the huddle and is helping a rookie. Those are the kinds of things where those are little spirit things that, you know, hey, everybody's all in.
Yep.
And so it's easy to say, well, gee, presumes you win more games. Well, yeah, hopefully those things kind of come, but it gives you kind of a barometer of where we are as a team mentally.
Dave Yeager joining us here on the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. Willie Cauley-Stein, clearly his best outing of the year. It's obviously been a tough road for him this season, getting playing time, and when he hasn't really done that much with it. What did you like about the way he played last night, Dave?
Well, I like a couple things that he does, and they're all related to motor, you know, a guy's drive to go and rebound out of your area. That means, you know, not a rebound that's just maybe going to land on top of your head, but using your athleticism and your wingspan and getting off the floor and grabbing and snagging a ball that is not coming close to you, you go and get it. And I thought he did that. And then, you know, he finished stronger around the rim. You know, he didn't clutch and dipsy do, you know what I mean? He went up strong with some tip-ins. He's been putting in his work. He's, you know, you just got to keep staying with it and staying with it. Our coaches have been working with him, video and drills and ball handling and, you know, stuff around the rim and all these things. And he's taken to it. If he didn't do it himself, you know, we could, you know, you can drag a guy to do it, but he's taken it on himself. And I think, you know, he should feel good and gain some confidence going forward from that. And it's tough on me because the league is playing smaller and smaller and smaller. And so Costa has a little bit more girth. He has more experience, and we're also playing DeMarcus at center throughout a large part of games. And so for various reasons you do that. And so there's sometimes where it's not that Willie is not playing well, it's just that it's very difficult to play, you know, a bunch of centers.
Dave, we noticed, and Jerry and I were talking about this last night, it looks to me that Willie Cauley-Stein's free throw stroke is so much better than last year, which you obviously weren't here for, so it would be more difficult to comment. Do you know, has he made a change to the best of your knowledge in the way he's shooting it, or is it just repetition and it's starting to work for him now?
Both, and confidence, you know, feeling good about the work you're putting in. There's not a huge mechanical change that we ever want to make with a player, but just subtle things. I think the ball's coming off his hand a little bit softer, and I think he's getting the ball up and down a little bit. I think when he struggles, he just points it straight out, and the ball is very, very flat.
Coach, whether it's Twitter listeners, you know, Kings, tons of fans, when you look at the difference that you've had to start in many different lineups, I know it's hard to define style, but if you could define the style, what is your style and the style of this Sacramento Kings team?
I think it's something we're still working on. We never really had a chance where, you know, Rudy was out 10 out of 11 games. You know, I think he was out six, and then he tried to play one, and I'm probably off by a game or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back, and, you know, because you're trying to get through the first 20 games and figure out your team a little bit. So then we kind of went back to, you know, playing with him once he came back, and then now he's gone, you know, he's gone for the season certainly. So that has a big impact on how you play because, you know, he needs the ball. DeMarcus needs the ball. You know, I'm encouraging Darren to be a scorer as much as possible. So, you know, we kind of start one way, and then we come in with a unit that has a bunch of energy and plays a little bit faster. So to say it's all this or all that, it's kind of different groups are built a little bit differently. Very quietly, Aaron Aflalo is playing pretty well here the last three or four games, and I think that's, you know, that's good for him and that's good for us. He's playing out of position at small forward at 6'4", but he likes the banging. He likes to post up. You've seen a guy who likes contact like that. It has been different all the time, and so it can be difficult to say, but try to set up games and let DeMarcus get him in the post, get him at the elbows. He likes to play in the top where he can see where everybody is. And so we have to kind of mix it in where we move him around at, and we're still getting better at that.
Coach, stylistically, when you say that, I've noticed DeMarcus Moore in the post at the elbow and guys cutting off of him. Is that kind of an evolution of him learning how? Because Grant and I always talk that he is a really willing passer, and he's always one dribble away from getting to the basket.
Yeah, I think, you know, getting him closer to the basket, whether it be just to the elbows or to right around the free throw line area, he's such a threat, like you say. He can take you one bounce, one step, cross step you and finish, but he attracts so much attention defensively. I think sometimes if we get him too far out from the basket, he gets into his second or third dribble by the foul line area, and I think that's where you see people, you know, swipe down on him and create turnovers. And so, you know, it's something that we're working on.
Dave Yeager joining us here on Sports 1140 KHTK. You saw Cleveland last week after they had lost at Utah and at Portland. You're going to see him tomorrow after two losses. And last night they allowed a New Orleans team without Anthony Davis to score 70 in the first half, and they lost. I guess I could also look at the big picture and say, well, they're just not playing that well right now, but you know you're going to get the A version of the Cavaliers, so at least your players know what to expect tomorrow.
Yeah, isn't it great?
Hey, you know, hey, it's just man, I you know, we got on the bus last night, Coach, and you know, we were before you got on there, and me and some of the guys were like, uh-oh, you know, they just lost to New Orleans. But again, I look at the big picture, and I've been looking at their last 2 weeks. It's not like, I don't think they're playing as well as they were. I don't know if they missed J.R. Smith more, if Kyle Korver hasn't fit in, but I say that you saw the A version of the Cavaliers, and they came out in the first quarter last week. But after that, you know, your team, I thought, played very well. But you can't do that against that team.
No, it's difficult. They did had a concerted effort, I thought, in our game back home to get Kyle Korver going, ran him off some pin downs. And, you know, he's elite at what he does. And it gives a different dimension to their team. And then something that's not talked about is, you know, Iman Shumpert comes out and goes 4 for 5 from three.
Right. Yep.
You know, you're
yep.
like, you have enough to deal with, right?
Right.
With Kyrie and with Love and all this and that. And so, come on, you know, we don't need that. So, you know, hopefully we get a good performance and, you know, they're not too fired up. But I in a bigger scope of the discussion, we've caught a lot of teams this year with needing a win, or we've caught teams coming out on a West Coast trip where they struggled a little bit coming in there. And you look at the schedule and you go, okay, we got to go to Golden State. We're going to see the Clippers. This is one we need to get this Kings game right here so that we can set the road trip up to, you know, you always try to see if you can go 500 on the road, right?
Yep.
And the great teams do better than that. So we've caught a lot of those teams this year, and I know we'll get their best shot tomorrow.
Coach, 4-5 nights. It was great to see young Malachi out there being aggressive. Are you going to dig maybe deeper into your bench as you manage these minutes, or are you just going to play it each game and see how the game goes?
Oh, it's difficult, Doug, because you're always trying to find those matchups that are put you at less of a deficit.
Right.
You know, and so throughout the course of games, Anthony and Matt, to me, are both better served guarding stretch fours. They're almost better even guarding power fours than laterally, you know, they give you everything they got. And so there's kind of a little bit of a hole against some athletic threes. And so, you know, I think, like I said, I made the comment about Aaron Flawley, who really took on the challenge to play Jimmy Butler the other night. I thought he did a great job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was kind of ticked about all the calls that that Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade kept getting in the fourth quarter, where you just go in there and you run into people. Those guys fought. Garrett Temple fought like crazy. And so you try to find the, you know, the matchups that not only can you exploit at one end, but the other matchups where you don't get hurt or you're not quite as much of it at a deficit. And that's partly because, you know, Omri's out a little bit, and certainly with Rudy being gone.
You know, what Doug says, though, with the 4-5 and all the travel, particularly in the 4-5 starts Friday against Indiana, but particularly with the travel from Philadelphia to Houston, the fact that you see Malachi getting in and looking like he belongs and playing well, the fact that Willie has looked good the last two games, I would think from your perspective, that's got to really help, because you now say to yourself, okay, you know what, maybe my bench is deeper. I've got more guys I can play, because you may need them in this tough stretch coming up.
Yeah, that and you know, I think it's just time. It there has to be a right time that you can't sit down with pen and paper and calculate. It's just kind of your feel as how guys are feeling, their confidence, and at what point in the season you start to mix in some of those younger guys. We're still trying to win every single game we can, but there's a time and a point where a guy kind of rises up and you get, okay, you know what? Let's take a look at this guy. Let's start putting him into some rotation minutes. You notice, I think in Memphis, I played them maybe the first half, but not the second half, or Chicago. And so that, no, it was Chicago, I'm sorry. And then, you know, they get their feet on the ground a little bit, get a little confidence. And then last night in Detroit, they played in both halves. And so I think that's a positive thing. And to add to your point, it does give us takes some minutes off some guys and gives us a look at these guys and adds a little bit of depth.
Yeah, Coach, that's an interesting take, because a lot of fans wouldn't understand that. We had some people saying, well, why do you play in the first half and not in the second half? But a lot of times, Coach, that's, you find their confidence and you see their confidence in practice, that foreign word, that foreign P word that just never, ever just takes place. But so you don't get to see that, so you get to give them a little bit and then take it back and see how they respond. And they have responded absolutely fantastic, spot on stuff.
It's been a nice shot in the arm, you know, a little bit of juice, a little bit of, you know, freshness, a little bit of energy. And did they make mistakes? You know, Malachi got backdoored twice last night.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And it's not summer league. Okay. You don't just get minutes for free and it doesn't really matter what the score is. It does matter.
Yeah.
But those are experiences that he can grow from. Immediately is in the plane looking at video and with one of our assistant coaches, Jason March, going, hey, this is what I thought I was seeing on this play. And that's how you learn.
Yep.
We're not just throwing guys out there going, hey, you know, this is just a learning process. No, we're competing as hard as we can. And as young guys, they should pick that stuff up and continue to improve.
Coach, always appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks very much.
My question for you, though, is which studio are you working at today? Grant, is it the AutoZone studio, the Subway studio, the O'Reilly studio, or are you in one of these rooms here, or I don't know where you
He's
are,
big
man.
Time, probably... Coach.
I'll tell you what, I'm about four blocks away from the hotel. If you'd like to come down here and take over the show for the next 3 hours, I would really appreciate that. How's that? I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll call it the Dave Yeager studio. How's that?
Thank you, guys. You're the best.
Thank you.
You got it,
Dave Yeager Show brought to you by Petkus Brothers. If you want to react to that, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. On your home for the best live and local coverage of the NFL and Super Bowl 51, Sacramento Sports Station, Sports 1140 KHTK. I'm in Cleveland. Doug is in Sacramento. Off day for the Kings, as you just heard from Dave Yeager. And Doug and I get ready to talk about the Kings and the Cavs tomorrow. Also, Super Bowl 51, as we'll be hitting the road next week. We got a lot of good things to talk about with LeBron James really sounding off after the game last night, so I would think the Kings know what they're getting into. The Cavs have lost two games in a row. They really have not played that well in 2017, and you probably heard from LeBron James, and you know he is furious. He is absolutely furious. So the Kings better be ready to go tomorrow. I'll tell you the one thing. We talked about this when they were in town last week, Doug. You know, I think one of the biggest issues right now, Cleveland doesn't have anyone at all that can protect the rim. And, yes, it is a guard-oriented league. It's a LeBron-oriented league. I get that. I'm just wondering if they have enough right now downstairs to go through the rigors of the playoffs and the championship.
I think that that's where LeBron James, Grant, I think you nailed it right there. I think that that's what he understands. I mean, mentally, his IQ is superior to a lot of other players, and he's calculating not the game, meaning that when they play the Kings. He's not calculating that game, Grant. He's calculating for June. He's calculating down that far, and he's saying, okay, we just played Golden State and they ran through us, and yeah, we were at the end of a road trip, but these are things that we are going to need. And I think that J.R. Smith missing him probably hurts them a lot more than they really realized, with his ability to on the defensive end, like you just mentioned, to guard some of the guards, and then his three-point shooting has been superior when he's played. So I think LeBron is understanding some things outside of just what you see on a day-to-day basis.
Somebody on social media asking me about the story about the Warriors after the game last night, staying out till 4 a.m. Big deal. I'm in my 50s. When I'm in Miami, I stay out until 4 a.m. too. I mean, so what? Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have a game tonight. They're young adults. They should go out. And you know what? I mean, I've been doing this a long time. Doug, you've played on many teams. Anyone that thinks that players don't go out when they're in Miami, they're delusional. So they played the game, they lost, and they went out, and they got in at 4 or 5 a.m. So what? Big deal. Who cares? What difference does it make?
Yeah, I mean, and they know their schedules. They're going to be able to sleep in a lot of different things. But, I mean, you go to Miami one time, they probably scheduled it, so they stayed over. Did they lose? They didn't play well. Yeah, a lot of those things. But it's Miami. That's why a lot of times Miami has a little benefit, because when teams come there, if they've gotten there before the game, sometimes, Grant, they come out and they don't play well and those type of things. It's part of it, man. It's Miami. It's the world champions or 1 year removed, and they're going to have a good time.
All right. If you want to get in on the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, that's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, again, we're talking about pro sports here. We're talking about, you know, mostly guys in their 20s. And so what? You know, as long as they're not getting in trouble, who cares what they're doing? But I would say this, Charlotte better be ready to play tomorrow night, because the Warriors, coming off a loss, they're going to try to take it out on Charlotte. So that's you'd be more concerned if you're a Charlotte Hornets fan. The Kings, by the way, will be seeing Charlotte on Saturday after playing Indiana on Friday. Well, yeah. You know, I never did ask you this. Other than your home in Seattle, when you played in the NBA, which arena did you like playing in the most?
Madison Square Garden. Yeah, I loved playing in New York. It's the Mecca. It is
always energy, regardless of whether the Knicks were good or not. There was just amazing energy, and there is amazing energy in that building.
There is, and I don't know if that's the ghosts and Potvin sucks and all the different things that are in there. But I mean, even when I played there, you know, let's get ready to rumble. Run out, and it's just. But, you know, the sight lines, how they turn down the lights and the court is lit up.
Yep.
and the fans. One thing that I will say, and Sacramento fans are awesome. New York fans, they know the game. I've heard some of the best comments come from the stands, Grant.
Yep, they should be running the team.
They should be running the team sometimes. I'm just like, turn around and go, you know what? Yeah, Patrick needs to get in the post. You're right.
They should be running the team this year, because, once again, the Knicks are 20 and 26. And, you know, when you it starts, you know, James Dolan, to me, it starts right there. And I don't see the Knicks ever being good with James Dolan as their owner. I just don't ever see it happening with him as the owner. And once again, you know, you're talking about that payroll. You're talking about the revenue that team generates from their TV contract, from their radio deal, and from the absurd amount of money that they get for their tickets. I think that the courtside seats now, I believe someone told me when I was there a couple of weeks ago, $3,500 a pop.
Wow. Grant, why do you say Dolan can't get it done?
I just think he is he's proven that he's an incompetent owner. He's proven that he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't let people do their jobs, and he hires bad people. I mean, like hiring Phil Jackson was an awful move. As great of a coach as Phil is, Phil's never run a team before. And by that, I mean, Phil's a coach. Now you're taking him from what he did good, and you're putting him in an area that he doesn't have experience in. Or what about Isaiah Thomas when he handed the keys to the franchise over to Isaiah Thomas? It just seems to me that James Dolan, and then he interferes. You know, listen, any owner that fires Marv Albert because Marv was too critical when he was doing the games, one of the great voices in the history of the NBA and synonymous with the Knicks. When an owner does that, that tells you all you need to know about him.
Yeah, Marv, man. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. You just dropped the mic again, Grant. You always do that, though. That's it.
Is that it or what?
That's it. I don't even know. You don't even have to go any farther. Marv is he's synonymous with the Knicks. Are you joking me?
No, it's a joke. I mean, so I don't see it happening. I really don't. And not that the year is over for the Knicks.
So if
20-26.
So if he was to hire people and get out of the way, are you saying that maybe then they could
be successful?
Or just him, period, he's going to be too meddling?
He's too meddling. He's Daniel Snyder. He's Jerry Jones. He's not capable of doing that.
Wow.
He's not. All right, we've got 1 hour left, and we are going to talk Atlanta Falcons about their trip to the Super Bowl. We'll do that with their beat writer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. So we're looking forward to doing that. We are going to be with you right up till 7 o'clock. But again, in the final hour of the show at 6:15, the Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution will pick his brain on what makes these Atlanta Falcons so darn good this year. We'll do that at 6:15 right here in your home for the best live and local coverage of the NFL and Super Bowl 51, Sacramento's sports station, Sports 1140 KHDK.